Federal News Radio's Tom Temin is here, and a lot of changes at the Pentagon. We have Secretary Work now confirmed to be the number two there. We learned Terry Takei is leaving as of tomorrow, her last day. Very short order.
Yeah, I mean, the word is she was asked to go.
Yeah. Yeah, and there, I mean, that makes sense. You normally don't say on Monday that you're leaving on Friday.
Until Friday, right, yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah. But do we have a sense of what any of this means, or are they? Do you think they're individualized changes?
I think they're individualized changes. I mean, Bob Work is a solid character. I think, you know, as the administration goes into the final stretch, they want the tried and true grand, eminences, grease, so to speak, like a Bob Work, who can come in and know their way around the building right away. I mean, it's too late in the administration for someone to learn their way. And, you know, I hear things said in and around the Pentagon that, you know, Chuck Hagel is kind of respected, but not liked that much. And so I think they, I don't know. I think it's a swirling environment right now. I think in Terry Takei's case, she had certain issues with some of the superiors that she plowed ahead on things they'd rather she had not. And so they said, look, you got to go. So I think there's no one theme here.
There's something interesting, though, about some of these departures and some of these vacancies that I have no reason to believe are tied together, but seem remarkably coincidental. Now, I have discussed on my program, and you've discussed on your program, the restructuring that the Pentagon is expected to go through. Congress has directed them to combine the office of the Deputy Chief Management Officer and the Chief Information Officer, and the person that leads that operation will be a direct report to Secretary Hagel. So look at those two operations. The CIO is gone.
Right.
The Deputy CIO, Rob Carey, is gone. The Deputy Chief Management Officer, Beth McGrath, is gone. Her assistant, Dave Winogrand, is gone. And Paul Brubaker is gone.
Right.
What a leadership vacuum at a part of the Department of Defense that the Secretary of Defense and Congress both have said is tremendously important to the operation of the organization.
Yeah, that's right. And the strange part of all that is the CIO coming in under the management, you know, structure and not something of, you know, its own kind of silo, because, you know, the CIO is a congressionally legally mandated position. And so it seems to go a little bit against the Clinger-Cohen Act, or at least as it envisioned the CIO function, and that included DOD, which is a little bit ironic since one of the authors, when he was a staff member in the Senate of the CIO Act, was not the CIO Act, but the Clinger-Cohen Act, which gave CIOs much more imprimatur, was Paul Brubaker.
Right.
So I'm not sure that's not why he's leaving. I don't know why they all left at once, but it does, when you put it that way, it kind of takes mosaic tiles and does make a picture.
Yeah, I haven't seen those dots connected in that way in anywhere in this space yet, and yet I find that tremendously troubling as somebody who's observing the way the Department of Defense is supposed to conduct business. Now, I'm not suggesting by any means that somebody's ready to turn out the lights, because obviously there are many, many, many capable people that are conducting the business of the Department of Defense. But there is a tremendous vacuum in that one segment of the Office of the Secretary of Defense that a lot of people have deemed to be tremendously important.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And, of course, we can also note that Chuck Hagel said he wants to cut the costs of his direct staff, the Pentagon's central command, if you will, by whatever it was, you know, some percentage, you know, which amounts in that case to hundreds of millions, I think, over the 10 years. So that might play into that need, but it does seem to be that the losses are concentrated in an area where they need some strength right now. Because not only is, you know, things are getting tight, but ironically that places more emphasis on information technology at the time when IT itself is undergoing a major revolution in capabilities and technology approaches to running enterprises. So, yeah, it does, when you put it that way, it makes negative sense, or, you know, reverse sense.
Federal News Radio's Tom Temin is here, and another story you talked about in your program this morning is the effort by Congressman Rush Holt to revive the Office of Technology Assessment inside Congress. This office was around starting in the 70s, came bit the dust in the mid-1990s as part of...
I remember the tail end of it, yeah.
Yeah, as part of the Republican Revolution. But the legislation's still in place. The thing still exists, just hasn't had any money since the mid-1990s. And Congressman Holt has been trying to bring this back for a long time. He's not the only one anymore that thinks that the return of this or the revival of this would be a good idea.
Well, you know, Congress has all of its little sub-think tanks. I mean, it's got the GAO. There's information technology expertise there and tech and science, actually, not just IT, but all areas of science work there. Maybe that's why Congress originally thought it was redundant. But, you know, in those days when there really was a major change, there was no information technology as we understand it today in the government in the 70s when the PC came along and it dawned on people that there would be this thing on everybody's desk, not just a mainframe somewhere there for a few, you know, of the high priests mm-hmm. to operate. So that was a major change for the government and for Congress. So maybe they needed people to help them understand it. I mean, as our story by Jack Moore notes, there was a time when they debated whether everyone would need email or what is email.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember when the debates were going on. Does everybody really need email? And it seems silly now, but at the time when email first came out, they wondered.
Yeah.
So I guess there's something, some function in the future on the science level that Congress needs to understand better. But it seems like they've got access to that expertise by existing agencies and offices.
Tom's back on the Federal Drive tomorrow morning on Federal News Radio. Jason Miller's report on the countdown. I'm thinking about tomorrow's Federal News countdown already. On the shutdown 6 months later is terrific.
Yes, it is.
And I wonder what residual effects you see in the people you talk to, what you hear from folks about what people are thinking about the shutdown half a year ago.
Well, you know, on the federal side, it seems to have become a distant memory at this point. I don't hear actively talking about it. The contractors, though, I think were spooked. And, you know, when you are a revenue-generating operation and you miss some block of a quarter and things were slow surrounding the actual missing spot, then that's hard to recover from. And I think he quoted companies like the Immix Group who were used to a certain level of growth, and you know, they're privately held, and they expected a certain level of growth, planned on it, and once that that hole happens, you can't get that back. So there is real measurable economic loss.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, people still hope that never happens again.
Yeah, I am heartened by the conversations that I see in Congress now that nobody seems to want to get anywhere near a shutdown again for the foreseeable future.
No, they're playing nice. They're getting the bills they can get done, VA construction, that sort of thing that there's not too much controversy about, saving the controversy, I guess, for later.
Mm-hmm.
But there's still plenty of ways to go. I mean, they are not out of the woods with respect to the so-called normal order and getting the appropriations done on time, but maybe a little bit more progress than last year and the year before at this time.
We are starting to hear already the idea, though, of those two letters that everybody in Washington hates.
Yes.
CR. Yeah. The likelihood of that happening appears to be getting greater, at least for some of these bills. The sense that I am hearing from
HHS,
listening to your
maybe.
Show. And yes, some of these will be a little more controversial, and it will be more difficult to get them through by September 30th. So we might wind up with – but we haven't had that for a while.
Sort of a hybrid approach. Yeah. Half the government appropriated, half on CR for a while.